here in the middle of the Chazal about a mezaken l'adam ishal fish elefi meisav, and then we have amar birchna kashal zavn kikris yamsav shnemel kim meishichidim baisa. So I don't think we started the maral. Did we start the maral when we were learning last time?
We did the first paragraph. We had the yesh mefarshim.
Okay. So he says v'yesh mefarshim gam kain. So he speaks about what is the kosher zivugam l'sha'adam. He speaks about the ichud and the period of the two, and why that is something shleikeder chateva. V'yesh mefarshim gam kain. Hodikom azivug sheni kosher zavim kikris yamsuf. Hainu ki kasha zivug arisha ena roy rak oy hu oy hi roy zivug acher. Az Hashem Yisroch Mesalik Echot Min HaZivug HaRishon Ad Shemechav HaZivug HaShen HaShor Yishu B'yachad Lekach Zivug Sheni Ukoshim Kriyos Yamsuf Ki Kriyos Yamsuf Hu Koye Koshel Abbas HaMitzrim Latsas Yisrael Loi Hoye Efshel HaHatsis Yisrael Lomoye Deavidas HaMitzrim V'dov Azeh Koshel Bin HaShem Yisroch Ke'elu Ma'is Yodov El Ma'is Yodov Heich Yov Et Elom Ne'elu Kmo Shpirash Rashi B'Pirash HaChumash Me'ez Chachomim. וזהו שהזיווג השני קושם כרס ים סוג שהוא צורך לאבד איך בזיווג ראשון כדי לך בזיווג השני וכך מצאסי. So he says another pshat over here that specifically the zivug that's called kriyas yamsuf is zivug sheni, because zivug sheni means it's a process where one person is being left short in order to make another person mushlam. So I guess even if both sides remarry, but the musig of a zivuk sheni means that there are odd pieces left out, and the koshi is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs all parts of the bria to be in place, and where something displaces something else, that's kineged the rots of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu would want. V'da'oid ki masha oma ki koshi zavgan ki makiris yamsuv. Kashemis or Kashakora Yom Hoya Poila Bikir Bayam, Shuhu Gashmi, Levakeri Sola Halkoi. Umashu Yisborah, Mizavik Zivugim is had Odoma Gashmi, Hare Ishbif Natsma, Kabif Natsma. Mitsajishba Odom in Loikim is had a Zeu Hibul Gamri, Vashemisborah, Mechaboysom, Zeshu Mitsad in a Loiki Shuba Odom, Vubitlo Bikir Sagashmi, Bezeshomashu Koshim Kirs Yamsuf. So let's talk about what he's trying to say over here. He says the element of kosher lezavgam kim kriyas yamsuf is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he says, was hayapoyel habikir bayam shugashmi lakesa lechalkoi, and mashu yisbach mezav zivun tzad onagashmi hari ish natsa kivatsma, and that's also a tzad gashmi and so on. Let's explain the nekuda that he's focusing on. There are two olamis. There is an olam that is gashmi, and there's an olam that's ruchni. And the olam that's gashmi is something that has its own, let's call it laws of nature, and its own mahalchim. And and there's nothing that's neis or pella in that structure. There is an olam that's not gashmi, it's olam ruchni, and it has its own mitzias of it's called laws or how it works. And there's nothing peladic within that either. So Lamosh, let's take an example. In a sense, the asara nisim that were always in the Beis HaMikdash, those really were not, because the Beis HaMikdash was kind of it was not part of the world in a sense, it was extraterritorial, so b'meila there wasn't any pella in that the laws of nature in the Beis HaMikdash were different. They are what they are. And it's very, very, and that's a world that's not this world. It's like in an embassy, you have many times the laws of the other country are the laws that prevail, and that's that. But when you have something that crosses one into the other, that's where you have a pella, because the imposition of one over the other is an almost impossible. It's one of those riddles that you know, when people say, okay, so God made a miracle, but the miracle had to work in some way. So what happened? Did this start being this? At what point did the miracle start? You know, where does the mechanism feed in from? What was there before and what's there afterwards? The pella that we live with is the chibur of the nefesh to the guf, which is very, very difficult to really comprehend how a nefesh, which is not material, is dependent. If I didn't eat scrambled eggs this morning and have my coffee, my nefesh is working at half speed, and if I keep doing it long enough, the nefesh is going to just take leave, even though the nefesh does not enjoy any of the eggs and the coffee. It's dependent on it. On the other hand, if my nefesh feels guilty, then my body reacts, and I have all sorts of physical symptoms because my nefesh is in pain, despite the fact that they don't really have much in common. So how does it work? So that is kosher. In other words, the chibur of the two together is type of thing we can ascribe as being kosher to do. It's a type of nes. So all nisim, in a certain sense, are difficult because you're imposing some other thing on it. But here you're talking, and so he says, in terms of the ish and isha, the ish and isha physically are two separate entities. It's only the concept of mishpacha, the concept of a superstructure mishpacha, is not a physical concept. And Moshe Balachayim don't have it. Balachayim, almost all Balachayim, just mate. And yes, the Zohar mates in Keva, and then there's offspring, that's the end of it. The concept that they become one, in a certain sense, is something which is unique to which is coming from a different world. The echad that ish and isha are is something not of this world, and that's why that transition is very kosher to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Kosher meaning not that it's difficult for him, but what he's doing is really something that is inexplicable. It's no way to explain it in any term. So the kosher here means it's an act that is generally something shaloka derech hateva in any sense of the word. The Maral in Beragola speaks about this quite a bit. About the kosher, let me just see a second where it is. It's towards the end of Dal here. The Maral over there in Beragola, it's the end of the Be'er Dalet. He speaks about the Chazal. What is HaKadosh Baruch Hu doing for Shemei Breishis, the famous Medrash, he's Mezavik Zivukim, Bitosh Lepleinah Pleinah, and so on and so forth. So he asked the obvious questions, you know, what does it mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, you know, Mezavik Zivukim, and so on. So he says over here also that anything that's within the Bria is a recombination of that which was. So if we're to ask ourselves in the Teva, is there any type of chidush in the Teva? And the answer is no. There's a lot of recombination. I burnt this and built this. I chopped this down and built that up. So those are things that are recombinings of things that pre-existed. Masha'en Kain, when you have something truly new, it's something that is not within Teva itself. In Teva, we have the law of Ein Chodesh Lachas HaShemesh. The Zivug that we talk about, the chibur, is something that is unique in each case. And let's explain a little bit what the moral means over there. He makes the following distinction. He says, marriage as a whole, as a klal, and zivugim as a klal, are certainly nothing new. I mean, that's been in the Bria always. But just like each individual person is a Bria b'fnei atzma, each and every zivug is a Bria b'fnei atzma. In terms of, let's take another function, let's take a simple, let's say eating, I need to eat bread. But whether I eat this loaf of bread, that loaf of bread, or the other loaf of bread, is immaterial. As long as the bread has X amount of nutrients, I'm fine. And, you know, there are many, many, many options for eating bread. Bale chayim need to mate. Whoever they mate with is really, really not of terribly great consequence. But it's only by Adam, since just like every single person himself is a yachid, every single zivug is also yachid, and each particular zivug creates a metzias that is yachid, and therefore it transcends the masha hoya hu masha yeh, and ein kol chashach shemesh, and it becomes something created. And that's why it's appropriate to say Mishesh Mebreisar Achshav, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does is Mezavik Zivugim. So his point is that the HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Zivug is create something new. Parallel to this idea I guess across the board in the Kabbalah Sfarim, when they speak of new ha'aris that are created on Yontiv, on Shabbos, and things like that, there's always a talk of a zivug. The zivug of this midah with this midah, the zivug of this hanhaga with this hanhaga, they are molded another hanhaga. In other words, the concept of something new arises specifically from a hemshech, from two things that combine, that are meant to combine, and they're moilitz a third thing, which is very, very unique. And that's really the metzias of how HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings new hanogis into the Bria. It's a type of taking two things that are no shaykh sadeh and making them one and creating something new out of it. So that's how he touches it over there. The Kosher Kriyas Yamsuf is because in the combination, he says Kriyas Yamsuf itself was one entity. Then, like he says over here by us, exactly like before, it's one unit. To make two entities out of it is create something new. And let's explain why. Whenever we touch on the essence of something, so if something is essentially a certain chibur, so that's its metzias. Water is something that sticks together. That's its metzias. To make waters is something that requires not a change of an existing object, but creating really a new essence. Because water by its metzias is always Lashon Rabbah, it's always all the waters together, they stick together. The other way around, every Adam is Yechidi Nivra, and to create a new Tzur of Yechidi through two people together is something which is an extraordinary Pella, and that's what happens. Had it been not Prati, this is an essential point in what he's saying. If let's say a person could mate at will, and like a lavdolf does, like a Baal Chaim, and go off on his way, then it never became part of his self. Then it's like eating. Yes, I do eat this particular kikar lechem in some sort of way. That kikar lechem is it becomes part of me, but it's not no essential change in me, and therefore it doesn't make a difference. See, each kikah lechem is you know, whichever I want to pick, that's fine. By Adam, where I'm trying to create something that is a new entity by combining the two ones, and each one loses its own entity and gets its a new entity, that's something that is belongs under that Pella, and that's why it's kosher kikriyas yamsuf, or it's similar to kriyas yamsuf, and so on. He goes on over there in Beragoli, speaks more about HaKadosh Baruch Hu creating potential and bringing into the world, and he goes off more on the name of the Zivuk afterwards, you know, not so much on this Nekuda anymore. But HaKapanim, this Nekuda of Zivuk is something that goes to the heart of the almost impossible. Every Adam has his own unique Tzura, and that gives us a Metzias. Every Adam together with another person who has her own unique Tzura come together and they create something else that has its own unique Tzura, something that was neither one or the other, and that's really something that is a Chiddush. It's something that's a Pella.
Just a question.
Yeah.
Yes. So the fact that when he said the woman is more chomer, that's because she would be more matim herself to the zivug. She's more malleable and some, even though she's a tzura, but she's
correct.
Still
correct. But at the end of the day, I mean, Chazal in many places, she deals more with the chomer, with the practical part of life, with the physical things, and she also, yes, she's more malleable, and she at the end of the day, she takes on the tzura of the husband and so on. So when we speak about, you know, we speak about Shechina b'Yishayu b'Seyam and so on and so forth, it's because there's some new entity created here. We're functioning as a new unit, as a family. It's one of the things, I guess, I don't want to digress that far, but still, because it's something that, you know, when today they have, let's call it, new laws and approaches about marriage and what constitutes a marriage, there's be'etzem a mistake at the heart of it. Marriage is, in a sense, a theological institution. Because the idea that, a person can mate whenever they want, whatever they want, that's biological. Biologically, people, you know, all animals don't have a family unit. Evolution, you know, claims it evolved this way because it's a more effective way to raise young children, to and so on and so forth, to have two people. It's all gone. Nobody has children, nobody wants to raise them. And Shalom Yisrael, there's nothing doing there. It's something which is, if we to ask ourselves of the social institutions, what is of the non-physical entities in the Bria, what's something that is a spiritual entity that somehow expresses itself in real physical things, you would have to say marriage. You'd have to say Ish V'Isha. You'd have to say that there's this new unit, this hyper unit, which is something else. That is a Kaddish Baruch Hu's doing. That's defined by Kaddish Baruch Hu, because it's not something that really, really it has a physical definition. Yes, living with another person has a physical definition. Caring for other people and being loyal to them, well, yeah, communities have that, governments have that, villages have that. It's not the idea that Isha, that they're unique for each other and no one else is supposed to break through, and it's a new unit and that produced a child, that is a Kaddish Baruch Hu's given. And it's not the pshat we're not allowed to change it. We won't change it. We can't change it. There's no such thing as a different mitzvahs. You can have people living together, you can have people doing whatever you want to do together. It'll never form the dynamic of a family. Halavai, a normal marriage will form a dynamic of a family, but you're talking about something that really shouldn't be possible. I always, when I speak to Bachram, when we talk about Taiva and the task of Taiva, I said, imagine I would come to somebody and say, listen, I have somebody who really wants to be your friend. I guess no videos. Yeah, I guess I was censored out on this one. The South African sensitivities.
We got to the last point was you speak to Bochum about time.
Yeah. So you speak to Bochum and you say, let me answer the following question: if I were to come up to you and ask you, would you be interested in a friend? Yes, really nice guy, wonderful guy. Yeah, I certainly like friends, like to make friends. Okay, here's the deal. You need to permanently be this person's best friend, and you need to care for them financially, emotionally. All their problems, all his problems will become your problems, vice versa. Sign on the dotted line. Nobody in his right mind would do it. Friends are nice, and friends are sweet, and we have a great time together. But, and if I feel like being helpful, I'll be helpful. And if I don't feel like, I don't feel like. But I mean, it's there's an incredible engagement with another person that is not normal, and the ability. So Akadosh Baruch Hu gave us taiva to smooth the process, so that a person is extremely willing to do it, and that brings everything else with it, and that was built into the teva. But at the end of the day, you're talking about something that's really doesn't make any sense, that structure. So yes, kids need it. And what about people don't have kids? What about before you have kids? What about after you have kids? There's no... the answer is, Zohar Nekeva Baruch Yisam, HaKadosh Baruch Ram, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the Zohar Nekeva to be able to become Basa Echad. It's the ability that we can also function as a family. And that's something that is an understanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Bria, as HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Bria, for the people who are busy trying to be okerit, with all sorts of halachic tainess, this way, the other way, it's there's a certain kfira in understanding that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Zavis Zivugim means that the process of marriage is not just because two people like each other a lot and they're committed to each other and all these wonderful things. There's a fundamental shorish in the teva that allows for it. And it's a pella. It's a pella that I can allow another person's life to become as intertwined with my life as marriage does. And it happens because HaKadosh Baruch Hu braid that pella. It's not a government function. It's not a government can approve any type of relationships they want. It'll never be marriage. And there's a certain element of a deep kfira if a person thinks, if a person thinks that we can create our own frameworks for these things, then there's a deeper sense of kfira to it. Not overtly, but in deep, it's as if it has nothing to do with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and so on. So he says that then the moral continues. V'yesh makshan divi chachom kivim shememir kodim tzir savlad basko yoytzi bas pleni al pleni in kein lomar tzorech ha'odom l'shtadl ach isha sh'egzeez Hashem zon chavitza sheke v'ein ze kasha. The moral brushes it off as not being a kasha. Different mefarshim deal with the kasha. The teretz that most give is that there is a bria like that. It doesn't mean HaKadosh Baruch Hu has set into motion the process and it's going to happen automatically. She's not going to show up at your doorstep. It says darke lachsa chaveda. A person needs to make those ishtadlius, because those ishtadlius are what he's mechuyev to do. So. And some of the Rishonim speak about it. We'll take a look at the Sori HaTorah last week. Even Parnassa, many Rishonim seem to say quite explicitly that whatever gzeira of parnas is on a person, it doesn't mean that if you sit home, it will come delivered in the mail. That's not what it says. I'll just look at. It means something else. I have a sefer here. I think it's worth reading it a minute. So there is a Teres HaMincha, who's the Rashba's Talmud. There's the Ikrim. It says, let's take the Ikrim was much shorter here. It says that in Pirkei Shir, it says Nemola Mahi Mayomers. What does the Nemola say? Noisen Lechem Chol Basik Olam Chastai. So the Nemola is described in Mishlei that it is a very, very industrious little ant. So he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu feeds the entire world by giving them an understanding and a nature how to pursue that which they need. When a person has been given wisdom and understanding, a person needs to engage in it. Kadosh Baruch Hu's bracha works for those people that make themselves ready for it and allow the bracha to be chal. It's a medrash v'batel. I would think that sitting and doing nothing is enough for Kadosh Baruch Hu to give a bracha. Talmud Loimer b'chol ma'is yedech shetase. Kadosh Baruch Hu gives a bracha in every ma'is yedaim. It's a ikrim in Chelek Gimel, first perek. The Teres HaMincha was a Talmud Rashba and a Mekubal. Nobody's going to say he was a philosopher, a kaif, or whatever it is. He says, V'chein b'tikun ha'nefesh, b'im b'tikun ha'guf, both for the tikkun of the nefesh and the tikkun of the guf, you need to be toreach. Or be asko behem. When is toreach? Misainos min hashamayim vayzasei. They help him in hashamayim. Or bolvad sheishtadlu lazes atzmak. But he has to try to help himself. V'cheinu oime ki b'glal adova zei v'recha shem l'kev chol mai secha chol mai mishlach adecha l'mai v'recha shem l'kev chol mai sedecha shatase. Holomadeta She'ena brocha mitzuya ve'ena nocha kim b'maisi yadayim v'giya. Brocha comes only for the person that's misyageya, and it lands in it. So, and it says over here also, v'abrochem v'rechet le'esek, k'ma shemesh le'tzemach ha'domo. A brocha is something that blesses a concern, like the sun is helpful for plants. If there's a plant, if there's no plant, then the sun will do nothing but just bake the ground. When there's a plant and it has sunlight, it will flourish. And obviously, you need all the other things. You need the water and so on. V'chein hi abrocha, the Teres HaMincha says. The bracha is also like that. V'loy tishre elo b'dovishish b'mamish u'basic ha'hogin v'radish ha'bracha. It only dwells on something that has a mamish. It's a business that has a foundation to it. It's not, you know, sky pie in the sky, and something which is a isek hogun. And then he says another point, that extreme wealth, he says that's true for most people, and having the means to meet your needs. Avumatim ne adam. For a few of the people, ubeknias hoin ravotok, and for getting extraordinary wealth, enknias hoin atik tovet ravashadus. Work does not produce extreme wealth. I once saw a very cute cartoon. It was a time when they're talking about the extraordinary salaries of executives, that the CEOs that really are probably not worth it. So they had a picture of like a very kind of well-fed looking executive coming out of the elevator, and there's a poor lady scrubbing the floor. Two ladies are scrubbing the floors, and one says to the other, I can't even begin to imagine how hard this person works, because I work hard enough and I make $11 an hour and he's making $5,000 an hour, so I can, Lord knows how hard it must be for him to work. Wealth, extraordinary wealth, is some other hanhaga other than this chritz and so on, the bracha. But he says very clear, bracha is not yesh me'ayin. Bracha is always yesh me'yesh. So if a person does something that is, worthy of a bracha, so bracha shayon it, and that's when he gets. But beyond that, it's not going to work. It needs something. So here also, it needs, these are in yonim that he says need some sort of, the arboim yoim koidem avlad is not that it's there already and it's a done deal. What it means is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put a potential nebriya in for a person to be able to find somebody that can live a life together, requires a bria like that, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu put into the bria. If the person needs to do his ishtadlus to find her, ein lecha gadol from Avraham Avinu and Yitzchak. Avraham Avinu did not sit back and wait for Shadchanim to knock on his door. He wasn't happy with what Shadchanim would bring. He sent Eliezer to look for a shidduch. So the looking for a shidduch, and Chazal said some people the zivuk came to them, some people went to zivuk, but there's always some sort of element of doing something, of ishtadlus. So that's one explanation for the Be'er Mekodesh Tzeis HaVlad. There are other Hesberim on it. There's a very big Oilus Ephraim. Oilus Ephraim is a Kli Yoker. He wrote a sefer on, I don't know what the right word is, Hashkafi Yesodos Lemuna, a chash of a sefer Oilus Ephraim, and he speaks about this by Rucha, and he says, if you take this Chazal Kipshuto, there are many, many problems with it. What happens if he didn't get him? What if somebody else got somebody else? And he goes through all of that, and he has a whole different mahalach over here. It's not muchach that you get your zivuk. Let me see if I have one handy here. And I could, it's a very long arichas. I'm just going to try to see if I can read the point of it. Just 1 minute. Let's see. I don't have it tachas yadi, but I'll call upon him. He's very mayrich on it. And he explains, basically, I guess, boiling the point down, he asks all the simple questions of what will happen if this, and basically it's more of a potential that's there for him, and the person can end up with somebody else as well. It's not muchach that you end up with a zivuk. There is a zivuk for a person, there is something that's just like bias, pulling the plane, all these things, but on the other hand, it's something that is not muchlat. And a person can mess it up. Here's an old sefer. I'll get it. See if I can find it quickly. It's two volumes of sefer, and I mean the sefer I have, the first edition I think was one volume, but. And his Seder is not really very. But here, let me see if I can just. Here, Sayyid Allah Bayth. I am Bayth. Okay. Here it is. So he says, "Mi chochem yom elef baskos yoytzes al kolbanis and lozdem basmen leploini." So he says, if it's exactly that, that's how it works, that the baskol exactly it makes this one for this one. So if somebody marries a psula the second time round, so what are you going to say on this one over here? It's his second marriage and she's her first marriage. That's impossible, and so on. So he brings an akeda who asks, how come if it's so true that the zivug is already, you know, given over and so on, why did the others work so hard at getting a wife and so on? They should just wait it for them to come around. Why did Yaakov pursue her, and why did Avram send Liaz and so on? And he says, Dakeda says that it's a proclamation as to what's appropriate, but people can change it, and therefore it's possible that somebody else will grab her and so on and so forth. None of it is muchach. What comes out min hashamayim is what's potentially good, but not what's what happens befall. He himself is very meirich, and he says, let me just see if I can, he goes on, he has different terutzim here. So he says the zivik rishon means, zivik sheni, zivik rishon means if the person is zocha to the person that he should have married versus marrying out, having to look for another one, and therefore it's sort of a second rearrangement. It's as if there are those that are your best bet to get married, so to speak, and those that you have to try to figure out and make do, kind of. You know, Zivug Rishon V'Sheni is not first and second marriage, but rather marrying the one that is really suited to you versus one that you needed to sort of shatchan together. That's the way he speaks about Rak Panim. It's something that so many of the Rishonim's approach is that it's a potential of some sort, it's an ideal of some sort. There's nothing guaranteeing that the person will realize his ideal or will realize his potential. And b'meila, there's another mahalach where a person can also make it happen, lefi ma'isav. In other words, he can make it happen and so on. That's the piece over here. Okay, I think we'll hold it here. Any questions, any points? Okay, next week I may not, I'm supposed to bechinas next week. I don't think I'll be back Thursday. So my assumption is next week not, but then afterwards, Mitz Hashem, it should be pretty good. I'm not scheduled to go anywhere. Okay.
All right.
Good Shabbos.
Thank you. Good Shabbos.
Take care. Bye.